Matthew chapter 11, verse 25 says these words. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you are pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The verse that we've got for this morning is in Proverbs, and we're going for four Sunday mornings in August to be looking at some words from Proverbs. And last week we had wisdom and work, and this week we have got wisdom and rest. So I'm just going to read to you, and it's almost a case of keeping these two things open in your Bible, both Matthew chapter 11 and Proverbs 19 verse 23. And Proverbs 19:23 says these words, the fear of the Lord leads to life. Then one rests content, untouched by trouble. The fear of the Lord leads to life. Then one rests content, untouched by trouble. Life is stressful. Life can be stressful. You don't need me to tell you that. It's almost part and parcel, isn't it, of everyday living. For some of you, maybe this past week or this past month, it's been particularly difficult. Whether it was work or money, it could have been a relationship, it could have been health concerns, it could be any number of those things which are on the screen there. You could almost look through that and say, yeah, it's been stressful because of whatever's up on that screen. It could be that it's just something that's just happened recently and it's really taken you by surprise. Life has thrown you a curveball. Maybe it could be, and for some of you here, it's juggling parenting and being a parent with everything else that goes on in life. Maybe for some of you, it's the consequence of sin. It's the consequence of something that you're grappling in your life. Indeed, coming to church might be a welcome break. And coming to church and sitting here this morning, it's just a time when you can just go and breathe. And it takes you away from life's challenges. But actually, maybe coming to church is currently one of those stresses that you are having to deal with. There was a simple question posed by a professor to his students, and I saw it, and it was on TikTok. Now, some of you are going, what's TikTok? It's something that the kids are all into, apparently. But it was on TikTok, and he posed this thing to his students, and it was ages ago. It was back in a long time ago. It was about a few years back. But I saw it again, and I thought, I don't know if I've done it. And anyway, he held up a glass of water, and he said to his students, he said, "How heavy is the glass of water?" Now, some of you have probably seen this already on TikTok. And the students were there and they shouted out and they said, it's 8 ounces or it's 12 ounces or it's 16 ounces. And the professor was looking at them and he was surprised, like, and he was just looking and going, no, you're not getting it. You're not understanding it. And they weren't getting it. You see, the lesson was nothing to do with physics or weights or measures. It was all to do with stress. And he was trying to get this across to his students. See, he tells the class that the absolute, the weight of the glass and the water, it makes no difference. It actually has no effect whatsoever. It depends how long you have to hold the glass for. And he says, if you hold the glass for a minute, you're fine. That's very little effect. We've probably been a minute now, and apart from me shaking like that, it's had little effect. But we can do that. But if I hold this glass for an hour, then the arm starts early. I'm trying to work out in the gym with Jack, but you know the arm's going to start working, and it's going to start to wake a little bit. If I had to hold this glass outstretched like this all day, then it really does start to feel numb, start to feel paralysed. See, the weight of the glass hasn't changed. It's exactly the same as when I first picked it up as to what it is now. But even now, I can start to feel the pressure on the arm. The stresses and worries of life are a bit like holding this glass. We can hold on to them for a minute or a few hours, and it's not too bad. But if we hold on to it all day, or all week, or for a month, then it starts to have an effect. We start to be paralysed by it. It starts to affect the way that we think. It starts to affect everything that we do. We feel paralysed, incapable of doing anything. So often, it's not the burdens or the situations that cause the distress. It's the unending time that we must experience it for. Surprisingly, the simple encouragement of cheer up, things will get better soon, that doesn't knock it, does it? That doesn't help when we've been holding on to something for weeks or for months. We just become weary. We become tired. We become worn out. If we use the modern terminology, we become burnt out, and burnt out with life. In January 2025, Mental Health UK published the annual burnout report. I didn't know there was a burnout report, but they produced the annual burnout report, which takes the pulse of the nation's stress level. I can't remember, and I should have wrote down how many people he asked, but they asked a lot of people about their stresses of life and what they'd experienced in 2024. And in it, they reported that one in three adults, 34% of people, surveyed experienced high or extreme levels of pressure or stress, always or often. This is someone who experienced stress and the pressures of life always or often in 2024. With 9 out of 10, 91% experienced high pressure or stress at some point in the year. So if that's you this morning, if you can relate to the person on the screen there regarding stress and the anxieties of life, then you're not alone. You're not alone in that. In Mental Health UK have said that. You're not alone. Millions of people in 2024 and millions of people even today are struggling with the same unenviable position. And not only that, that's today, that's 2024, but we have done for a millennium. And that's why we have these two verses that we're going to look at, one in Proverbs and the one that Jesus said in Matthew there, to help us, to give us hope, to help us to put the glass down, to help us to find rest. Solomon writes, doesn't he, wisely in Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord leads to life, then one rests content, untouched by trouble. And Matthew 11:28-30 records Jesus' words of wisdom. Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. First of all, we have something to do. And something to do is Jesus' words where he says, come to me. Solomon in Proverbs says that if we want to find a restful life, then we should fear the Lord. If we want to find rest, then we should fear the Lord. So what does fear of the Lord mean? Often when we think of fear, don't we? We associate fear. If someone said someone is fearful, we'd associate that with someone who has been scared, someone who is frightened, that sense of anxiety. Is that really what God wants? Does God want us to be scared of him? Does he want us to be fearful of him? Does he want us to be frightened of what he might do? For us to submit to him, are we to be afraid? The answer to that is clearly no, isn't it? And actually, there's a wonderful definition of what the fear of the Lord means elsewhere in Proverbs. In Proverbs 9, verse 10, it says these words, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And so the fear of the Lord denotes someone who wisely submits to the Lord in humble reverence. Not someone who is scared, but someone who submits, willingly, wisely submits to the Lord and acknowledges God's sovereignty. So how do we do that? How do we actually fear the Lord and submit to him? Well, we accept Jesus' invitation in Matthew 28 when he simply says, "Come to me." I don't know if you've seen the program Taskmaster, but it's on telly. Some of you'll know it because it's been on for years. Some of you are smiling. I know you've seen it. It's basically five comedians or celebrities who are put together, and they have to do a series of tasks, and they have to work through these tasks, and depending on how well they do, they get points, and points win prizes. And there's been umpteen series now. So what you find is, whenever the tasks come up, no longer is it just, "Oh, do this and that's it." There's normally a twist, or there's normally a hurdle in there, or there's normally something they haven't seen, and something what makes the task a little bit different. The twist in it, the hurdle, it makes it difficult. The words of Jesus, when he says, "Come to me," there's no twist. That's it. He says, "Come to me and find rest." There's no twist to that. There's no, "Oh, and you must do all of this." Simply, "Come to me and find rest." There's no fourfold plan to peace that gives enlightenment, or the five pillars of peace that might give submission through submission that other religions will tell you you have to do. Or there's no 40 plus ways to manage stress that you might get in one of the award-winning stress books that many people will turn to find rest. Jesus simply and uniquely offers himself as the universal solution to all the burdens us. Let me read that again. Jesus simply and uniquely offers himself as the universal solution to all that burdens us. Wow. I mean, that is some claim, isn't it? Jesus is saying, if you want rest, come to him. And he will give you rest. Can he really do that? If you've come this morning and you're struggling with anxiety, or you're struggling with something that's not giving you rest, can Jesus really do what he says he's going to do? And that is some claim. Well, let me just remind you of who Jesus is. Colossians 1 verse 16 says, "For him, in him, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him." And in Hebrews 1, verses 1 to 3, we have these words. "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he also made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven." The one who claims that if you come to him, we'll find rest. He is the one who created the universe. He is the one who holds the universe together in his hands. He is the one who, when he came to this earth, healed the sick. He is the one who had power over nature when he calmed the storm. He is the one who fed the 5,000. The one who brought the dead back to life. The one who willingly went to the cross, died, and then rose again. When Jesus says, "Come to me to find rest," he is 100% able to deliver. So what are we going to do with that information? What do we need to do to come to Jesus. Maybe for the first time, that's your thinking this morning. And so to make coming to Jesus a reality, you have to stop going in the direction you're going, and you have to look in a different direction. To stop looking for the answers in the world, and to start looking to Jesus as the only one who can give you rest. The devil wants to convince you that a life founded on the fear of the Lord, as it says in Proverbs, is one that will lead to misery. It's one that you'll miss out on the fun. It's fearful. You'll be scared. It'll be boring. It's just religion what says, don't do this, don't do that. You can't do this, you can't do that. But actually, let me tell you this. A life founded on Jesus, when you come to Jesus, rather than discontent, he will bring satisfaction. Rather than anxiety, he'll bring peace. Rather than chaos, he will bring rest. Just now, maybe you're at that crossroads. Actually, it's more like a T-junction, isn't it? You look in one direction and you can see the allure of the world. That's the way that you're heading. You can see, but actually, when you look closely, you can see its values, and you can see that, well, where is the future in it? Maybe that's why life feels like currently that you're like a hamster on a wheel, going round and round and round and round, not seem to be getting anywhere. There's no reality of life, no real future, no hope for the future. There's a road on the other side. And maybe you haven't noticed it before, but this morning it's time to notice it. It's time to see it. There's no neon signs what say, happiness this way, come this way, this is the right way. And in fact, when you look closely, the road's not as wide, not lit up as much. You hadn't noticed before. And if you actually look, it does actually go uphill. It's a gravel pack. It's not tarmac the other way. I hope you're picturing it in your mind. But if you look, you can see there is a city at the end. A city of gold that you can see in the distance. At the start of this road, let me tell you, there's Jesus there. And like the picture you got there, he's got his arms stretched out. You can see the marks on his hands, and he's saying to you this morning, come to me. He's graciously inviting you to follow him. He doesn't promise you that it'll be a smooth ride. If you want the smooth ride, go that way. That's tarmac. This, it goes uphill, it's a bit bumpy, there's going to be some trouble along the way. But he is promising to be with you all through that journey. He's promised to stand by you. He's promised to hold you, to carry you. He's promising to be there with you. And he also promises you to get you to the city of gold at the end. Heaven is promised for all those who trust in Jesus. To go that way, you simply have to put your trust and belief in the Lord Jesus, the one who will give you rest. So something to do, which is to come to Jesus. And finally, something to take. Jesus says, take my yoke. Solomon in Proverbs continues his saying, doesn't he? He says, then one finds rest content, untouched by trouble. He says, doesn't he? If you find rest, if you turn the fear of the Lord, gives you life, and then one finds rest, untouched by trouble. Is Solomon really saying that if you're a Christian, if you truly know Jesus as your Saviour, then we'll be content in all things of life and we'll be immune from the troubles of life and the difficulties of this world? Then one finds content untouched by trouble. I mean, that would be nice, wouldn't it? If when we became a Christian, we were able to, like, say, don't worry about things, not. I mean, convincing people of the gospel, if we could say, you're battling with an illness, turn to Jesus, that'll go away. We could get some wonderful posters out the front. Trust in Jesus, your money problems will all be sorted. Trust in Jesus, you'll get that job that you wanted. And if you don't, well, fear him more. Do it better. Be slicker. That's how you'll get there. If you want to know Jesus, if you trust in Jesus and you want all these things, if you want rest, content, and untouched by trouble, then trust in Jesus. If that was the message, then it wasn't the message that Jesus was saying. Because actually, Jesus, who perfectly knew what it was to fear God, also knew what it was to weep at the grave tomb of his friend Lazarus. And Jesus was also the one, in Mark 14, when we read these words, they went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." What the Bible actually tells is opposite to that idea of trust in Jesus and everything will be rosy. The Bible actually tells us this in John 16:33. It says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. But in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world." And in Romans 5 he says, "Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope." You see, I think the verse in Proverbs is a wonderful picture of our future eternity. It's where we will go if we trust in Jesus, then we're destined for eternity with him in heaven. And when we get to heaven, then certainly our rest will be content and will be untouched by trouble. Trusting in Jesus when we get to heaven, when we get to spend eternity with him, our rest will be content. There will be no more trouble. There will be no more pain. There will be no more suffering. But what about now? Well, Jesus knew that the Christian life was going to be hard, and it's going to be difficult, and it's going to be something that we'll have to get through together. And so he continues, doesn't he, in Matthew 11:28, he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." If you're not aware of it, a yoke, I was going to say was, but actually it probably still is in various parts of the world. It's a piece of wood that goes across two oxen. It has loops in and it connects them together. It fits the two heads together so that where one oxen goes, the other one will go together. They'll be linked together and they will share the load of, say, ploughing a field. When we became a Christian, like two oxen, we're permanently linked to Jesus. We're yoked to him. There's no getting away from that. And so as we follow him, he's promised to be, as we've already seen, side by side with us. We're permanently linked with us. So that when we get weary, we can find rest. And despite life's difficulties, because we're there with Jesus, we can know peace. The problem is that we're not always pulling in the same direction as our Lord. We might be yoked with him and connected with him, but not only can life be hard at times, our Christian life can be hard because we're battling against following our Lord Jesus Christ. Has following Jesus become a struggle? Has it become difficult for you? Maybe it's just trying to reassess that. Actually, it's become difficult because you're trying to work against the yoke which is connecting you to the Lord Jesus. Might I suggest, I guess what I want to say is that Jesus isn't a tyrant. He isn't saying, "You must be yoked to me. You must do exactly what I say. If you don't, if you step out of line, there'll be consequences. There'll be difficulties." Now, what this verse tells us is that Jesus is gentle and lowly. What he wants for us is the best for us. He isn't leading us in a direction that isn't for our own good. He's leading us in a direction that is right for us. He wants us to learn from him so that we can know rest. So to finish, I've just picked up two practical steps that we can learn from Jesus to help us find rest. Firstly, Jesus knew what it was to rest. I'm sure we've all experienced the effects of not getting enough sleep. I only have to say that to the new parents in the room. The toll on your body and your mind of not making rational decisions, of things not being quite as they were. I had a long run back in May, didn't I? And towards the end when I was walking and Joel and Sam were there with me, I started to see things. I saw a police car wasn't there, I saw a gargoyle, I saw an old man in a field. And they just weren't there, much to the amusement of Sam and Joel. You see, I was just tired. Pretty much spent. But when we get tired, our minds don't think rationally, do we? And that's the same with life. Maybe that conversation we've had with someone was perfectly innocent, we would have been reasonable with it. But when we're tired, they said something weird. We stop looking at what the Bible tells us to say. See, when we look into the Bible, we see that Jesus didn't rush through life. We might say, surely he did. Everywhere we read, he was busy all the time. He was doing this and he was doing that. He went from one place to the other. He healed these people and then he fed 5,000. Then he did this and then he did that. He did do all them things, don't get me wrong. But he also knew what it was to take time out for himself and for his disciples to recharge. We sometimes forget that our Saviour needed moments of tranquility too. Luke 5:16, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. John 4:6, Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. And Mark 6:31, then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. This shows us that it is actually okay to step back and to give ourselves a break when we are weary. We need to learn this approach from Jesus, this approach of rest, and to model this balance within our life to be effective in our Christians' lives. But it's not an excuse. It's not something that we can look at and go, I'm going to take a long time out. Jesus knew what it was to get that balance right, didn't he? He got that balance and he knew what it was He got that balance right in his own life and he was able to model that for us. He knew what it was to rest so that he could operate from a place of strength rather than fatigue. And actually, us not being willing to rest, I take this on board myself, us not being willing to rest is maybe a sign that we're not willing to fully rely on Jesus. Hopefully we can take this lesson together and we can seriously look at exploring how we can rest. We can rejuvenate our spirits and deepen our relationship with God. Firstly, Jesus knew what it was to rest and he's modeled that to us. And then Jesus knew what it was to encourage community and encourage the encouragements from each other. Apologies for another running story, but actually this one comes from Callum. Back in 2016 at us, Callum, together with Laura, Hannah and Andrew, we went down to the London Marathon. And I went and did the London Marathon and they came, asked Laura about it. They had a great time following Callum around London, trying to find me at various spots. And they had great fun. But I always remember Callum saying to me afterwards, when he saw me about a mile from the end, so about coming into the mile, you're about a mile from the end. He said he saw me and my head was down and my stride wasn't long, almost like trudging along. And it looked like I was really struggling and everything was hurting, which I'm sure it was. But then he said, when they all started screaming and shouting and waving as they did, and the shouting from the sidelines, Dad or Steve, Uncle Stephen, the shouting from the sidelines, he said, when he saw me see them and notice them, He said, my whole appearance changed almost in an instant. He said, it looked like I'd been physically revived and mentally lifted. The head was lifted, the smile came back, and the stride just opened out a little bit. I just needed the reminder of the love of family and the friends who'd come down to see me and were cheering me on. I needed that community. Jesus teaches us that we too, when we are weary, we need the love and support of friends and family to find rest. We need that help within our lives. John 15, verse 12 says these words, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know the master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. We are each other's family and friends here this morning. Hebrews 10:25 commands us to meet together, to encourage each other, and to support each other along and through the challenges of life. Jesus this morning has graciously pointed and promised to take away the burdens of our sin to all those who turn to him. That forgiveness and freedom of guilt can be yours, can be mine today. So if you were weary this morning, for whatever reason, however complex, Jesus invites you to come to him, to believe in him, to trust him, to submit to him as Lord. And then as believers, we will still get weary in this life. That is what this life, Jesus didn't promise us, that we wouldn't get weary, that we wouldn't have challenges. We will still struggle with the challenges and the burdens of life until we get to eternity when all them will be taken away. But in this life, we need wisdom. We need wisdom to learn together from Jesus. We need wisdom to walk with him rather than keep pulling away. We need wisdom to remember the lessons of resting and submitting our lives to him. And we need wisdom to look out for each other, to look out for those whose heads are down, who are struggling, who are currently not running as they should do. Maybe their walk is slow and labored. And when we see them, we need to be their encouragement. We need to be their support. We need to put our arms around them. We need to show them our love. The rest given to us from Jesus is vital for us to navigate the Christian race. Are you holding on to something this morning? You stubbornly refuse to let it go. Maybe you stubbornly refuse to submit to Jesus for the first time. You know he is the answer. You know he is the one who can give you rest. And maybe this morning you need to turn to him as your Lord and Saviour. But maybe in your Christian life you're stubbornly holding on to something as well. Well, it's time to let that go. And it's time to submit and give that over to Jesus to deal with. Together, let's be wise in making rest a priority in our lives and allow it to prepare and equip us as we serve Jesus together. Amen.